Good morning. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 13. That'll be Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. Beginning with verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, nor in dissension and jealousy.
Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning with us. So thankful that if you are a visitor and you're with us, we appreciate you and we're glad that you're here. If you have not had a chance to fill out a visitor's card, let someone know and we can get that to you. Typically, they're in the front of the back of the pews, but we have them stationed in the back room there in the foyer. So just let someone know so you can get that filled out and we can make contact with you. We encourage you to stay for the meal immediately following this, and then we'll have a shortened service after that. So, again, we appreciate, we love you, we're glad that you're here with us to worship God together. And if you are tuning in live stream, I think we have our live stream up and working. We're glad that you're tuning in as well, and we hope that you will come back with us this afternoon after we meet for the second service. All right, so today we're going to have the final lesson on walking in the light. We will have a brief recap for those who have not attended this series, because you may have missed some important details for today's lesson, but don't worry, we'll get to the recap moment here in a second. But for thousands of years, humanity has struggled with how to change the world for the better. We have books, discussions, debates, we've had public speakers, we've had rulers, we've had governments who have all attempted to change the world only to fail. Yet still many people believe that instituting some form of government or political justice system is going to fix all the wrongs in a society. Take Afghanistan, for instance. We were there for 20 years trying to implement political reform only to fail. Every man-made institution has failed to realize that if you want to change people's lives, if you want to change a society, if you want to change the world, you have to change people's hearts. You have to get inside their lives. And to change someone's heart, it's going to take someone special, someone unique, and it's going to take some drastic act of love on their behalf in order to change people. And hopefully throughout this series of Walking in the Light, you've recognized that individual we've been talking about, who that was and what that act that he performed for us. So let's do our recap. Okay, so Walking in the Light, we use the text from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Someone immediately comes across the discussion of walking in the light, and the first thing you want to know is, what does it mean? What does it mean to walk in God's light? And to summarize what we discovered from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, is you have to walk in love. And when we are walking in love, we are also continually admitting our faults to uphold that standard of love. So the standard set for us is set for us by Jesus. And we're gonna fail at that. We're going to make mistakes. So we're always confessing our sins and our failure to uphold that standard. We also learned that we can know that we're walking in the light. Remember, we used this classroom situation where you can take a test and from actually verse 6 of 1 John 2 and working our way to 1 John 2 verses 8 through 11, you can test yourself to see if you're walking in God's light or not. You can know if you're walking in His light by simple examination. Are you walking just as He walked? And how did Jesus walk? Well, He walked in agape love, sacrificial love. And we also learned that when we fail at walking just as He walked, we're also going to seek His assistance. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is our advocate. He's the one who is our aid, who can help us. He's righteous. He never makes mistakes. And He is our propitiation. He can cover all of our wrong mistakes and errors that we make. We moved on to reflecting His light and how we should become a full moon. Jesus is an example of the sun out there, and we are an example of the moon, and we should be reflecting His light to the world. We should not allow ourselves to get in the way. We should not allow things of this world to come between God's light and shining on the world. Lastly, we looked at being family of lights. How we can become family of lights. We used an obscure passage from James chapter 1, verse 17, and we discussed how in that specific text that we find that God is a benevolent giver. He gives every good and perfect gift, and we also learn that He's unchanging in giving His good gifts. Now, what's the greatest gift that God gave us? He gave us Jesus Christ, John 3:16. That was our text. That was the purpose of that text that we learned from James 1:17. So today we're going to discuss armor of light. So the text that was so capably read for us by Brother Brad, Romans 13 verses 12 through 14. Well, this text actually has a context that's going to bring us full circle to our recap of 1 John 1, 5 through 7, what it means to be walking in His light. Again, what does it mean to be walking in the light? You're walking in love, and you're continually admitting that you will make mistakes in trying to uphold that standard, but you still strive to do so. So that's going to bring us full circle. Armor of light. So this context where Paul writes this to the church at Rome, he actually begins this discussion of love and transformation back in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through following. If you work your way from Romans 1 and 2 all the way down to verse 9, he's going to talk about how we need to be transformed and how this transformation is going to impact our relationships. And once it impacts our relationships, or why it impacts our relationships, is because we are living out agape love, that sacrificial love. And we give it to everyone that we come in contact with. And he's going to follow up in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and he's going to discuss our relationship with government. Why should we submit to government? Why should we have a good working civil relationship with government? Because God has placed it there. He's instituted it. And if you look down at verse 7, this is where we're going to pick up before we get into our lesson. If you look down at verse 7, he closes by saying, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." And he's going to piggyback off of that idea, and he's going to work his way right back into love in verse 8 of Romans 13. What do we ultimately owe people? We owe people a debt of love. We owe people a debt of love. Notice verse 8. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law." So the point of the verse is that There is one thing that we will always owe each other. No matter how much we pay toward this debt, we will never fully pay it off. And the debt that we owe is agape love that has been demonstrated to us by Jesus Christ towards everyone that we come in contact with. And he says, once we have this type of agape love that had been demonstrated to us by Jesus Christ, then we have fulfilled the law. So in other words, if you miss out on love, then you've missed all of it. The entire purpose of the law, and we have other passages that we could go to prove this point, but the entire purpose of the law is not just to give us a bunch of strict rules to contain or control behavior. The intent of the law is to change lives. The purpose of the law is to change hearts. And God knows that if He can change your heart, if He can transform who you are on the inside, then He can transform your thinking, your desires. Then He's not forcing you to do the right thing. Instead, He's transformed you to want, to desire to do the right thing. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you have love in your heart for God and others, then you will naturally want to do what's right. Now, how would God demonstrate this to us? And again, we're always bringing it back to Jesus. Well, it took someone special, someone unique, someone perfect, someone like His Son, to come to this earth and perform that dramatic act of love that we needed. He did something drastic, something extreme to show us how much we should love each other. This becomes our motivation. Jesus is our example that He implemented on the cross, how He showed us how we should love each other. So notice what He says after this. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet it. If there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So the heart of God, the mind of God, which we discussed in Bible class, but the heart of God is summed up in one word and is demonstrated by one act, love, on a cruel, dark cross. That's the debt that we owe each other. Armor of light. You notice in this section I have given you a couple other passages, so I wanted to do something different. You've probably heard a discussion on putting on the armor of God, putting on the full armor, and you've probably heard people specifically go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, which is a great text to go to, and it's fantastic, but I wanted to show you something slightly different. And it's going to be very similar to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, roughly. And so Paul's going to use similar language that he used in those two letters as well. And notice what he says next. So he says, the whole discussion has been for the purpose of love. Putting agape love in your life is only going to happen when a transformation and a change has happened in your own heart. And so he's been pushing that. And then he's going to make this, it seems like a switch, but it's not really a switch. It's just further discussion of why it's so important to put on love, to put on Jesus. Verse 11, and do this knowing the time. And this is very similar to 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 8. That now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now salvation is nearer than when we first began. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us therefore put on the armor of light. There's a couple of things that are probably taking place here. And the application for us, because you could say this has reference to the fall of Jerusalem. Jesus was coming back to render judgment during this time, and so they needed to be prepared. You could say that this is reference to the second coming of Christ, and it seems like that could be the case here. And so the application for us is, as we're expecting the return of Jesus, and this time period that we have is becoming shorter and shorter until Jesus arrives back, we need to be prepared and equipped with armor, with the armor of God. And that's where Ephesians 5, 1 through 14 and Ephesians 6 10 through 17 can really help us to know that we need to put on the strength of God. We need to arm ourselves up. As bearers of God's light, I want us to think about the efforts we should be making to live a consistent life with the light that God has revealed to us. If we go out into this world, if we go out into our communities and we treat people in ungodly ways and we misrepresent His light, then it hurts the effect the church can have on people. So Paul's going to say, your actions are either going to be light or they're going to be darkness. And things that are light are going to be out in the open and they're going to be very transparent. And things that are done in darkness are going to be done in secret, behind locked and closed doors. So Paul says, if you're going to change the culture of the time, if you're going to change your society, if you're going to change the people in the community, specifically in Rome, then you have to be honest and transparent. They need to see you out there. You can't disappear. You can't run and hide. And then he uses this language about casting off. It's like casting off our clothes. And he says you need to adorn yourself in the armor of light. And he's going to close out in verse 14 by saying, put on Jesus. So if you're going to arm yourself with light, you need to put on Christ. If you're going to put on Christ, then that means you're putting on agape love. The most significant defense that Christians can have against false accusations is going to be our honesty and transparency, people seeing us in their lives. And when we do this, we destroy any charge of hypocrisy. We end up admitting our weaknesses, and we demonstrate that this dramatic change has happened in our life because of God's light. But just being honest about our weaknesses and our struggles does not give us a permit or license to continue in sin or ungodly behaviors. Not only must we be transparent about who we are and how we're living, but we also must walk correctly in the daytime. In other words, we need to be striving with God's help to overcome our flaws. We must walk so that when others look into our lives, they see us living in a consistent way with God's light. Because the world is watching us. And so Paul's going to mention verses 13 and following. He says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, not in strife and envy. So he's going to list three types of categories of sin. So first he's going to say, don't live out the sins of addiction. Don't live out sexual sins. And when it comes to your relationships, don't live out relational sins. Avoid those things. And put on Jesus, put on love. Everyone wants to change the world. Everyone wants to change society. Everyone thinks that they can make improvements. Everyone thinks that they can make their living space and their environment better. The Bible tells us we shouldn't just want this, but we should be doing it. It's not going to take us giving people a bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations. It's not going to be some political party that we're going to point people towards. It's going to take something drastic. It's going to take something different. It's going to take a ruler or a leader who's special, who's unique, who's perfect. You know, during this time period, that when Paul wrote this, you say, well, how did these Christians do? What was the effect of Christianity on Rome? Many scholars are going to tell you that during a 100-year time period or time frame, that Christianity grew from about 5% of the population in Rome to over half the population. The question is, how did they do this? Well, many scholars are then going to follow up with the things that attributed to this growth were two pandemics. Two pandemics that took place were the cause of this growth in Rome that swept through the Roman Empire. And at the height of the second plague, roughly 5,000 people a day were dying. And because of these epidemics, 30% of the population was devastated and completely wiped out. All that they knew about the disease and the plague that was taken over was that it was spread by contact. And as the result of this, many of the rich and many of the doctors fled from the cities. Many families were abandoned and they left their sick. But the Christians did something drastic. You know what they did? They stayed. They stayed. Christians remain amidst the darkness. They remain amidst the pandemic. They cared for the sick who were pagans. And because they stayed, many Christians ended up becoming ill and dying. Many would say this is foolish, but I would call it faith. Why would someone risk their life for someone else? Why would someone do something so drastic? Because they have someone special who they follow. Jesus gives us two reasons why we would do something so drastic. Number one, love. That's the cross. Number two, assurance. We have hope of something better after this life. That's why we can do something so risky, something that the world would say is foolish. Because of these two beautiful gifts that Jesus gives us, love and assurance, the infected people in Rome were cared for and the mortality rate dropped by more than half. These Christian light bearers had shined Christ's light into the pagan's life and they responded to it by becoming Christians themselves. The ones who were armed with light didn't have to impose rules. They didn't have to impose regulations on the people. They didn't have to impose their demands on the people. But they transformed an entire empire through drastic acts of love. The light now was shining all over Rome. You want to change your world? You want to change your community? You want to change your life? Then put on your armor. Put on the armor of light. Put on love and change people's hearts. This morning, are you seeking that transformation? Are you seeking that change? We encourage you to become a Christian. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Become part of this new birthing process that takes place. Maybe you just need prayers. Maybe you just need someone to sit with you and to hear you out, and to hear your struggles and the difficulties that you're facing. Whatever needs you have, let us help you. Let us assist you. You have this opportunity. You come forward as we stand.